Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Don't you believe your lying eyes? Don't you believe your lying eyes when it comes to, well, just about everything? NBC News exposing how terrorists have snuck into the country and Alejandro Mayorkas denies it. That's right. And Justice Alito whacks the asinine SCOTUS ruling against free speech in Murphy v. Missouri. Because it is a bad day for freedom of speech in this country. No question about it. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. Our fourth and final hour. The United States Supreme Court ruled Wednesday that the government may continue to pressure big tech companies who censor speech it disapproves of. And dissenting Justice Samuel Alito tore the outrageous decision apart. The court ruled 6-3 with Justice Amy Coney Barrett authoring the opinion. That the complainants lack standing to file an injunction against any defendant because they fail to demonstrate particularized harm. Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Brett Kavanaugh joined in the majority's ridiculous position, as Joseph Vasquez at Newsbusters puts it. I mean, this is just such a disappointing day. I mean, Kavanaugh, I always have my doubts about that guy. Roberts, I'm not surprised. Barrett, I'm really super disappointed in. But I hate to say it, I mean, I've always had doubts about her and about Kavanaugh, too. The court's explicit gaslighting as to the big tech company's independent reasons for censoring content was particularly galling. And while the record reflects the government defendants played a role in at least some of the platform's moderation choices, the evidence indicates that the platforms had independent incentives to moderate content and often exercise their own judgment, Barrett wrote on behalf of the majority. The absurd implication here is that, yes, the government was strong-arming the platforms, but it was ultimately the tech companies' decisions. Think about that now. The government is strong-arming these people, and yet, ultimately, though, it was their choice. They could have said no. It's absurd. Alito went straight to the point in his dissent, joined by Justices Neil Gorsuch and Clarence Thomas. He wrote, for months, high-ranking government officials placed unrelenting pressure on Facebook to suppress Americans' free speech. Because the court unjustifiably refuses to address this serious threat to the First Amendment, I respectfully dissent. Alito, writing for the minority, further rebuked that what the government did in colluding with big tech to censor Americans was blatantly unconstitutional. And the country may come to regret the court's failure to say so. In shirking its duty to properly tackle the un-American onslaught against free speech brought before the court, Alito said the majority permits the successful campaign of coercion in this case to stand as an attractive model for future officials who want to control what the people say, hear, and think. Alito blasted the court for treating the government's incessant communications as simply benign. Effectively, Alito said the court spun that the government merely asked the platforms for information. and then publicly and privately criticized the platforms for what the officials perceived as a failure to live up to the platform's commitments. But as Alito correctly pointed out, that characterization is not true to what happened. As recounted by Alito, government officials browbeat Facebook for months and made it clear that it did not do, that if it did not do more to combat what they saw as misinformation, it might be called to account for its shortcomings. At the time, Joe Biden said, Facebook is killing people. That's what he said. Facebook is killing people. The totality of the evidence, constant haranguing, dozens of demands for compliance and references to potential consequences invents a scheme of state censorship, Alito asserted, and he's absolutely right about that. But that wasn't all. Alito took the court to task for defending the government's position that Biden and his officials were just using the bully pulpit to speak out on such matters of pressing public concern. Alito called out the blatantly false bastardization of the facts, writing the following. On the contrary, they were engaged in a covert scheme of censorship that came to light only after the plaintiffs demanded their emails in discovery and a congressional committee obtained them by subpoena. If these communications represented the exercise of the bully pulpit, then everything that top federal officials say behind closed doors to any private citizen must also represent the exercise of the president's bully pulpit. That stretches the concept beyond the breaking point. And Alito said, in any event, the government is hard-pressed to find any prior example of the use of the bully pulpit to threaten censorship of private speech. It's clear the court in its atrocious ruling completely upended the historical understanding of the First Amendment by permitting the Biden administration's dystopian censorship enterprise to continue with impunity. Americans should be outraged. No question about it, they should be outraged. It's a sad day for the country. It's a sad day for the Constitution. It's a sad day for the First Amendment. It's a sad day for liberty, and it's a great day for the weaponization of government. Because let's face it, that's what these people are all about. Using the ability to weaponize the government of the United States of America against the American people, to silence, to intimidate, to get you to keep your mouth shut, that's what they do. And they do it all the time. They do it all the time. And Jonathan Turley put it best, you know, when he ripped this decision, and he said that the fundamental issue here is censorship. And it's censorship, and it's exactly what happened, and the court blew it. The court blew it in a big-time way. They got it really wrong here. Really wrong.
You have one of the largest censorship systems in our history, if not the largest. It's been called Orwellian by lower court judges. And what the court is saying is that we won't hear you on this issue because you're not the right litigants. Now, I have to admit, I've always been something of a standing dove. I believe that these standing decisions are too narrow because they do prevent the court from rendering a decision on such important constitutional questions.
Yeah, well, it's like Tracy Bean said, it's not over, but it's a bad day. And it's a shame that we even have to have a dissent like we did from Justice Alito, isn't it? Isn't that something? By the way, Prime Minister Netanyahu met with Senator John Fetterperson today. That's right. Met with John Fetterperson, who has been a defender of Israel and has been calling out his own party for their lunacy against Israel. This is the Democrat civil war that's going on right now. Because a lot of Democrat voters are calling Joe Biden Genocide Joe. Here's what Netanyahu said to Fetterman.
We've been through dire times in these months of anguish war. And during that time, I can say that Israel has had no better friend than Senator John Fetterman.
Wow.
Senator, welcome to Israel. I want to thank you for your courageous statements that show moral clarity and moral courage. And you just say it the way it is. And we appreciate this friendship at all times, but especially at these times. So welcome, friend. Welcome.
Well, we stand with Israel through this. And I'm so sorry for what's been done to this nation. But I'm just an honor to be here today.
Thank you. And I look forward to visiting you in Washington. Thank you. Thank you.
Good for him. Good for him. Excellent. Good for him. I say absolutely right. I mean, you got to give him credit where it's due. Good for John Fetterperson. And, you know, whether or not this is a long con or not, and he's just all playing a game, the reality is this. He's reflecting He's reflecting the sentiments of his constituents. He's reflecting the sentiments of what the people of Pennsylvania are saying. And that's the reality. And that's the truth. Former President Donald Trump was on with Corey Lewandowski on Newsmax talking about debate prep. Now, I can tell you that I have a little bit of a story regarding this, which maybe I'll share at a different time, a different day and place. But this is what he said to Corey.
Well, it's good to be with you, Corey, a man I know well.
Well, sir, there's been a lot of discussion about this upcoming debate on Thursday night. We've heard how President Biden has been preparing for it. And the real question is, what have you been doing to prepare for the debate?
I think I've been preparing for it for my whole life, if you want to know the truth. And I'm not sure you can lock yourself into a room for 2 weeks or 1 week or 2 days and really learn what you have to know. And I've been through it. I've been, you know, a popular president. We had some great elections and some amazing, you know, number of votes. Nobody got more than we got. And, you know, I know the subject. Now, you know, they make it cute because it's obviously at CNN, and I call it fake news for a long time. We'll see how they do it. I think they have a lot at stake, to be fair. I think they have to be fair. But we'll see how we do. I think we'll do very well. We've done well in the past, and I think we'll do very well. I know the subject matter. But I don't think, Corey, you can just lock yourself in a room like some people do and think you're going to come out okay. It doesn't seem to work that way.
Well, that's his probably way of saying that he's not actually prepping for the debate, which is okay. but, you know, I guess the bottom line is this. Trump is going to go up there and be Trump. Debate prep with him was never really the classic debate prep that you would think of in the sense of debate prep. But it sounds like he's just going to go in and he's just going to, you know, do his thing tomorrow night. And we'll see how it goes. I mean, I don't know how many people are going to watch this. I don't know how many people are going to pay attention to this. I don't know how many people are really going to be that motivated to check this out. It's a conversation that we'll continue to have. I just don't know how many people are really going to be that checked into this debate to begin with. So we'll see. I mean, Trump has nothing to lose. I think Biden's got everything to lose in this. I really do. I mean it. Why are they doing this in June? Why did Biden want this done in June? It's his people wanted it done in June. And I think the truth is because they think that if they have to make a change, they need to show everybody now. They got to show everybody now exactly how bad Joe Biden is. Exactly how bad Joe Biden is. They can't let there be a situation. This can't continue all the way to August and then November if he's so bad. If it's so bad, right? You can't do it. You just can't. So we'll see how it goes. I don't know. I mean, we'll be watching, obviously, and I'll give you all the updates on that, and certainly will. MSNBC, their view of the Supreme Court's ruling is much different from Fox News's opinion on the ruling by the United States Supreme Court. I've got that for you, too. Got a lot today. It's just been a busy, busy day. Great guest, too, and right? I mean, we were just cooking with gasoline. Cooking with gasoline. And I'm very, very happy about all the wonderful people that stopped by the show today. But here's Shannon Bream and Dana Perino talking about the Supreme Court's ruling today in Missouri.
Because Shannon does have a couple more details for us so that we can get some information. Where did the court go, Shannon?
Okay, what they actually decided was that the various plaintiffs who had come forward to sue over this issue, they don't have standing. So this is an issue that we saw just last week or just days ago with, you remember, the challenge to mifepristone, that abortion pill. 9-0, the court decided that they didn't have standing, the pro-life doctors who brought that case. It looks like they're doing similar here, but it's not a unanimous opinion. It looks like Justice Barrett, who is one of the most junior justices, and these go, they're released in reverse seniority. So it says that she, Chief Justice Robert Sotomayor, Kagan, Kavanaugh, and Jackson joined together. Justice Alito dissents with Thomas and Gorsuch. But essentially what they're saying is neither the states, because there were states involved in this, and or the plaintiffs have the standing to seek the injunction against any defendant. So the argument had been whether or not federal agencies and a number number of government agencies had been communicating with social media groups to tell them, flagging disinformation or misinformation. And of course, the argument is always about the First Amendment. If the government can't do it itself, it can't then do it through a third party forcing, say, a social media outlet to say, we want that language down. It would amount, the argument is, to the government actually taking that same action. But what we don't get to is that, because what we get here is essentially there's no standing for the plaintiffs who brought the case. And that essentially means communications as they were happening between the federal government and the agencies and the social media companies. We don't get to the legality of that. We don't get to the merits of the case.
Now, this is how MSNBC put it today. They said that the conservative justices, there's a big divide between the so-called liberals and diehard conservatives.
When it comes to cases, though, that could impact the election, like abortion or immunity specifically, should they consider whether they're leaving voters hanging? Do they have the ability to really prioritize or fast track certain things?
So we know that they absolutely do have that ability and that they've exercised it before. When the Supreme Court agreed to hear the decision out of Colorado, that the Colorado Supreme Court initially ordered Donald Trump off the ballot, finding that the 14th Amendment disqualified him, the Supreme Court acted quite quickly and opted to release a decision within 50-some days of when they agreed to hear the case. And they also released the decision before Super Tuesday so that voters could go to the voting booth and know whether one of the candidates was actually disqualified from office. We know 20 years ago in Bush versus Gore, the Supreme Court acted extremely quickly and issued a decision basically one day after oral argument in this case. So the court has acted quickly when an electoral timeline has suggested that acting quickly would be in the nation's best interest. And so I do think it's telling that they've apparently declined to do so in the Trump immunity case.
Well, in a lot of the politically charged cases, you know, when I'm there, I tend to think about it as three blocks of the court. There's the three so-called liberals, Sotomayor, Kagan, and Jackson. There's the three much more diehard conservatives, Gorsuch, Alito, and Thomas, as Melissa points out. And then there are the three justices that are in the middle of the court, not in the middle of American public opinion. These three are far to the right, I think, of mainstream public American opinion. But on the court, the Chief Justice, Justice Kavanaugh, and Justice Barrett do play that role. And I think Melissa's absolutely right, as usual, she is, to point out that, you know, in this case, you see that same lineup happening with the three more moderate conservative justices joining the three so-called liberal justices for that alignment there. I don't know that it necessarily tells us much about where the immunity case is going or any other case. These are pretty stable blocks across one case to another. It wouldn't surprise me if we saw something like that in the immunity case. But, you know, I think, as Melissa says, it's just a tiny tea leaf of what might be to come.
I don't know what that even means. I really don't. I don't even know what that means. One day they hate the court because it's the most partisan court in American history. And the next it's that the justices are all over the place. And the next is that the liberal justices and the conservative justices hang out and they party and they play Parcheesi and they play parlor games. And I really have no idea what the hell that even means. Other than whenever, I mean, they're happy about the Missouri decision. And so they're very tempered, you know, to decide when it's a decision that they like. I guess it's bottom line, the way that you can surmise it all. All right, we got a lot more show for you ahead. Don't go away.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
A severe blow to the United States Constitution. I can literally feel the Bill of Rights crumbling in my hands as the United States Supreme Court deals a win for the deep state and the power of government. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. Our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Thanks for coming out last night to the Jack Carr event. If you joined us, it was a fantastic evening. If you missed it, get a copy of Jack's book. He sent me a bottle of his whiskey today, and I was just really touched by that. He's a terrific guy. He really is. Truly a terrific guy. And it was a fun conversation about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, all the Bond villains around the world who are trying to erode American sovereignty and take over and just tell us how to live our lives and what to do. So we enjoyed it very, very much. No doubt about it. President Trump called into a barbershop in Atlanta today. I want you to take a listen to this. This is exactly what we've been talking about. You know, as the debate looms tomorrow night, the real question is anybody going to have their minds changed by anything tomorrow night? What is the purpose of this? Is the purpose of this just to see how bad Biden's doing? Are they lowering the bar so badly for Biden with the expectations of the debate? It's an important note from the New York Times op-ed on the debate. Unfortunately, Mr. Biden starts from a disadvantage because there's no way he can spend as much time preparing as I did 8 years ago. This is Hillary Clinton writing this. Being president isn't just a day job. It's an everything, everywhere, all at once job. Historically, this has led to weaker first debate performances for the incumbent. Even Hillary Clinton is trying so hard to lower expectations for Joe Biden going into the debate. It's remarkable. Here's President Trump calling to that barbershop.
He said, yeah, Biden just made the regulations much tougher. And it's very tough nowadays, tax on tips. And I said, how would you like to be no tax on tips? Because first of all, it's very hard. You know, it's a very hard thing to control from the government standpoint. But the people are very unhappy about what's happening, especially the new regulations. And anyway, I just came up with the concept of no tax on tips. Let the people earn what they earn. And it has been so popular beyond anything. I've never seen anything like it. So we have no tax on tips. Vote for Trump, no tax on tips. He said, yeah, they just...
No tax on tips. What do you think? You like it? I think we like it. Who doesn't like it? I mean, it's a great winning message because it plays right to the heart of the working men and women of this country. And whether or not it ever becomes the kind of thing that actually becomes policy or not, I mean, are Democrats going to stand in the way of that? Just to hurt Trump? Just to not give him a win? Well, I can see that happening because they just hate him so much. Their derangement is so obscene. I could see them doing something that's stupid, couldn't you? They just turn around and say, yeah, we're going to block him on this because, you know. Now, I went to the grocery store today, and I do the shopping in the house. My beloved soft shell crabs. So this is the time of year to get soft shells, and it's actually getting a little late. But you're lucky if you can find them. $12 a soft shell crab? $12? I mean, I can't do it. I'm bummed. I'm super bummed because it's one of my favorite foods to make this time of year. But I can't. I mean, $12 for a freaking soft shell crab? Food prices are everything right now. And they asked Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, have you been to the grocery store lately? Have you been? Have you just, you know, gone shopping? The answer is going to surprise you. I know. It's going to shock you. I know. Just sit down and prepare to be shocked.
Secretary Yellen, have you been to the grocery store lately?
I sure have. I go every week.
It's sticker shock, isn't it?
No.
I just, when you look at the shipping costs, those have come down. Global food commodity prices have also come down, but food prices still remain high. I know they're not rising at the rate that they were last year, but they're still up 20.
Don't you love that? She says, it's sticker shock, huh? She goes, no. No, everything's fine. It's great. Hey, that's good. Keep up the elitism. Keep up the out-of-touch attitude. That's the way to do it. That's the way to win people over. Make them feel like they're just freaking nuts. What you're feeling is not real. There's no sticker shock. Stop. Stop it. Don't believe your lying eyes. It's like cheap fakes. Grocery store prices are the new cheap fakes. There you go, Matt DeSantis. That's your podcast title for the hour. Grocery store prices are the new cheap fakes. Unbelievable. I just, you can't win with these people. So Donald Trump says he wants a drug test for crooked Joe Biden. Joe Biden's people have said, absolutely not. We're not agreeing to that. And why would they? They don't want to expose the old codger for what he's getting, that IV that they're going to tap into his veins and give him. But I will make one prediction, and that is that a lot of people last night or tomorrow night are not going to watch. They're not going to watch. They're just not going to. They're going to turn around and they're going to say that they have something better to do with their time, with their life, something better to do with passing of the night. Now, we have our Zioli Show Unplugged tomorrow night in the Odyssey Hub. Then I've got to jump in a car and go up to New York. We're taping a 4th of July thing at Fox News, so I got to be up there. But I will obviously be watching because I have to. It's my job, and I need to make sure that I can inform you of everything that's going on. But I just wonder how many people are actually going to tune in to the debate. How many people are going to actually watch? And if they're going to walk away with their minds changed. Now, that's really the question going into this, I think. DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas denies that at least 400 migrants with potential ISIS ties recently crossed in the United States after they were released by the Biden administration, even though it's exactly literally what happened.
DHS confirms that at least 400 migrants with potential ISIS ties recently crossed into the United States.
That is incorrect.
Tell us why.
That reporting is incorrect.
We have
identified 400 people with potential ISIS ties. And let me again assure you that individuals who are identified to have those ties would pose a concern to us from a public safety and a security perspective, and they would be priorities for detention and removal.
Calling that initial NBC report inaccurate over the 400 potential ISIS ties?
I think it is inaccurate.
It's a cheap fake. That's a cheap fake. Another cheap fake. Boy, they're everywhere, these cheap fakes, aren't they? They are just everywhere. You can't believe your own lying eyes no matter where you look. So this is what happened today. Murphy v. Missouri. And this is a sad day, I think, for the Constitution. The court issued a 6-3 decision in Murphy v. Missouri, holding that the plaintiffs lack standing. Now, it's not over. As Tracy Beans talked about earlier in the show today, it's not over. But it is going to, at least for the time being, motivate the Biden administration to continue their weaponization of speech in this country. The weaponization of speech and going after their enemies and trying to suppress anything that they deem to be information or disinformation. That's the thing. And it's what's going to happen. It's at least until we get justice in this, that's what's going to continue happening. No question about it. But in the meantime, what I wanted to share with you is this. The legacy of Julian Assange's prosecution. The legacy of Julian Assange's prosecution. This is a very important piece by Elizabeth Nolan Brown over at Reason.com. Julian Assange is free, but information isn't. That's right. So Julian Assange was released from prison this week after agreeing to plead guilty to conspiring to disclose classified documents related to national security. After 5 years behind bars, it's hard to exactly call this a win for the WikiLeaks founder. But nevertheless, it is a win in and of itself. On the surface, it is a loss for the U.S. government, which wanted to push Assange away for a much longer period of time. But It does show you the lengths the government will go to punish its enemies and to intimidate speech and to really hurt the people that the government deems to be enemies of the state. Authorities got exactly what it seems they wanted, a warning to anyone who would dare to publish information that makes the government look bad. It provides a clear view of what happens when you actively try to expose government secrets. Shots have already been fired against future renegade journalists. Quote, said Assange's wife Stella at a news conference in Australia, I hope journalists and editors and publishers everywhere realize the danger of the United States case against Julian that criminalizes, that has secured a conviction for news gathering and publishing information that was true, that the public deserved to know. The precedent now can and will be used in the future against the rest of the press. 100% true. Even if the prediction didn't exactly come to pass, Assange's prosecution almost certainly serves as a deterrent for journalists who would encourage whistleblowers, as Assange did with Chelsea Manning, or any other outlet that would aim to function like WikiLeaks as a source for unredacted publications of government information. And while social media was supposed to make exposing government corruption easier, its current iteration only makes clear why entities like WikiLeaks are so necessary. 5 years behind bars for exposing U.S. war brutality, but I told you the real reason why Julian Assange was really locked up was the clip that I played you yesterday, when he goes on to talk about how Hillary Clinton was really the one doing business with Russia and Donald Trump was not. You know, that's what really, truly, at the end of the day, got Julian Assange in hot water. If he had just been good, you know, if he had just been good and just played by the rules, he would have been okay. He would have been all right. But instead, Julian Assange messed with everybody by exposing the corruption of the Clintons, how she sold out the United States Department of State for her own personal benefit to enrich herself and her husband through the Clinton Foundation. He exposed that, and for that reason, they went after him. No doubt about it. All right, more to come, but that's the big story of the day today, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. My buddy, my friend, and the master of dental implants, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
She's the host of the Kimberly Guilfoyle Show on Rumble. She's the author of the new children's book, The Princess and Her Pup. She's Kimberly Guilfoyle, and she joins me here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Hi, Kimberly. How are you?
Hello, hello. Thank you so much for having me on the program.
Absolutely. So congrats on the book. You know, I have three kids. I've got two daughters. One is seven. One is four. I think this might be right up their alley.
Oh, I think so. Absolutely. 4 to 12. But Don Jr. loves it when I read it to him at night.
you still calling him your little junior mint?
So cute. It's a really adorable book. You know, I partner with Brave Book to do something really special to give back, you know, to children coming out of COVID and all the craziness, indoctrination in the schools. And I said, you know, don't complain about the problem, be the solution. I have a background. I followed in the footsteps of my mother working with children as an educator and working with special needs children. And I wanted to do something sweet, you know, and wholesome. I'm giving 10% of the proceeds to Furry Friends, to the animal rescue organization I'm part of, to Find Forever Homes, you know, for the poor, sweet, abandoned, and abused and neglected dogs and cats. And one of the main characters in the book is Jack. And Jack is a real-life rescue pup that Don and I have. And he's so adorable. He's got a little black eye patch, and we named him Jack just after, like, Captain Jack Sparrow. But he's slightly less piratey and a little bit better behaved. It's cute. You know, it's a very unique book in that it has a little girl who was born a girl who wears a pink dress because she likes it, and that's the little princess. So no indoctrination here, just like wholesome good values about facing your fears and how it's, you know, easier to be courageous with a little friend by your side.
I love it. I think it's really important. Kids need positive books like that, and it's really important to read with your kids, too. We read with our kids every single night, Kimberly, and I think it's one of the best things to do for their development.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's good family time, you know, and kids have been through so much. And, you know, that's also why people, if they don't have children like you and I do, and they want to buy the books to support other children, please do, because we are then donating those books to children's hospitals, St. Jude, to Bible studies, to classrooms throughout this area in our community as well, to make sure that kids have something very wholesome. And some of the kids, you know, that are in these hospitals, they're not allowed to have stuffed animals because of the bacteria, but they are allowed to have a book. So I just want to make sure and do absolutely anything and everything possible that I can to put a little joy and love and warmth and, you know, wholesome love in children's hearts.
Very nice. Well done. Well, and the book is available. I get it on Amazon.com. I saw that. It's also available wherever bookstores are sold. So pick up a copy.
And kgpup.com, which links to the Brave Books website. And you can also get the option to include a Joe Biden chew toy for your favorite furry friend.
And that chew toy, for the record, is more alert and conscious than Joe Biden is. That's very true.
I did an unauthorized autopsy, and there is no brain, in fact, in there, just a squeaky toy. So it's much as we suspected.
Well done. You did an excellent job recreating it. On the Kimberly Guilfoyle Show, I know today you were talking about the debate, some highlights there. Question for you, which is, do you expect any shenanigans going into the Democrat National Convention this summer? Are you worried that we might get a switcheroo? You know, a lot of names have been thrown out there, including some you might know very well, for example. So do you worry about that?
Yeah, I mean, you never know what kind of dirty tricks the Democrats and the liberals, the globalists, the liberal elites are up to. I think it's very obvious, especially recently, that Joe Biden is in very serious cognitive and physical decline. He has no idea where he is. He's glitching nonstop. So if I were the people that are actually running that party right now, the Obamas, Valerie Jarrett, Susan Rice, I would say, ay, 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 or as I say in Spanish, ay, caramba, because you've got a big problem there. So a lot of the talk is, oh my gosh, they're going to let him debate. And then there's the Machiavellian theorists that come in and say they're going to let him fail, fall on his face, literally, figuratively. And then they can do the debate and swap, which is a close cousin to the bend and snap. that's what could be up around here with these crazy kids. So who knows what's going to happen. But, you know, by the way, fear, no. Our family's not really big into the fear factor thing. We're just in the, crush and smash it. And whoever President Trump goes up against, the enthusiasm is for him. So I really think it's going to be immaterial who comes in on the other side. I do think that they are in a crisis in the Democrat Party right now. How could you not be? If you're in charge of the DNC or you're like running all the stuff on the inside, are you saying we got this? Boy, we got the champ there with Joe Biden. You're not saying that. And Joe Biden, and Joe Biden, though, but guess what? They're holding on with, like, tentacles, like, you know, with the death grip on the White House because of the Biden crime family and because of, you know, Hunter Biden, that upstanding citizen, the finest example of a first son the world has ever seen. So they have to stay in, right, to be able to stay out of jail. They're like, huh, White House or the Big House? That's what this is about. But now it's so bad that they may be forced out. So maybe this is going to be an example of that, that it really gives them the moral, you know, authority to be able to pull him out. But then they have, they're in a quandary, because what do? Do you step over, you know, Kamala Harris, who would be like the first, you know, black male female candidate? You know, there's a lot going on here. So who really knows? Or do you just say, wow, we really need a Hail Mary and you put in Big Mike Obama? I don't know. Anything's possible. I don't know
who you're talking about there, so I'm not even going to acknowledge
either.
That. Yeah, I don't know. But you're right, though. The Kamala Harris problem is an issue. Say they were to just push her aside for somebody like, I don't know, let me just throw a name out there, Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, who's really stepped in it recently with his budget. Woke may have a real problem with that, you know, than putting in another white dude, even though he does, as you know, have nice hair, so...
You put him in a hair contest with, you know, Joe Biden. Here's the thing. I mean, look, they have a couple people, you know, waiting in the wings, et cetera, but I still do not feel that they're going to be able to, in any way, shape, or form, you know, beat President Trump. You know, Kamala Harris is wildly unpopular, like abysmally low, you know, unfavorable. So this is somebody that I think is just going to motivate our base even more to combat against. And as for California, we don't want that for the rest of the country, let's be honest. So that is not a shining example of American exceptionalism or restoring the great economic engine that we saw roaring in this country under President Trump. And that's what I really hope that, you know, the debate is about, is the juxtaposition of an amazing presidency and administration with a failed, dishonest presidency that has made America less safe, where he's failing on all metrics, where he's put a wide open door to illegal immigrants, that's making the country less safe, our communities less safe, you know, drugs pouring in, fentanyl, all of the above, child and human sex trafficking. It's just absolutely insane, you know, and Americans are tired of all of this and their tax dollars being wasted. And then Joe Biden cares more about sending money to Ukraine and cares more about illegal immigrants and amnesty than anything else. And in, you know, his first 100 days, now think about this. These are the facts, okay, which, you know, Jake Tapper and Dan Abashid equip themselves with. First 100 days, he took more than 94 executive actions on immigration, okay, including halting construction of the wall. And he ended the very successful Remain in Mexico policy, which Trump is on record that he will reinstate on day one to help make America safe. So, you know, just on the border alone, it's a complete atrocity what's happened in this country. And Joe Biden should be thrown out of office just on that metric alone. But it's not just that. You have, you know, horrific numbers for the economy, the Fed just keeps, you know, printing money, horrible Biden inflation. And, you know, people are very tired of this. And, you know, crime is rampant. It's bleeding even into, you know, red states. So there is no record of success that Joe Biden can run on. And he's been in, you know, almost 4 years. And look what we have to show for it. That's terrible. You know, and people do care about these things. And the world knows. And if America is not strong, the world fails. And that's why you see all of this conflict and a number of geopolitical fronts, you know, whether it's, you know, Putin on the march and the war in Ukraine and the, you know, billions of U.S. tax dollars going over there where it should be here, helping our children, helping with our schools, helping, you know, with our infrastructure, for our veterans, for our military. You know, that's not what's happening. He's just, you know, exporting the American dream, and it's America last versus America first that we experience with President Trump.
Back to your, and I know you have to run in a minute, but back to your book, The Princess and the Pup, for a quick sec. Princess and Her Pup, for a quick second, Kimberly Guilfoyle. Mm-hmm. You can go to bravebooks.us and buy it. The Princess and Her Pup, a children's book about overcoming fear. You know, as a dad, and my wife and I talk about this all the time, but I talk about this with my friends and their kids, we're always trying to figure out how we can avoid the indoctrination of our kids, because they sneak it in. It's subtle. You know, even Nickelodeon's doing it now. And obviously Disney has got, it's all over. And there are so many books, like, for example, there's a book called Rainbow Fish, which I think is a book, it's entirely about Marxism. If you read the whole thing, you realize this book is Marxist propaganda. So we need to have books like this. How much do you think this is an issue that plays, which is Republicans talking about, hey, stop the indoctrination of our kids?
I think it's huge, and mothers care about that across all socioeconomic backgrounds, across all ethnic backgrounds. You know, Black African American mothers, single mothers, want school choice for their kids. They don't want indoctrination. I don't want indoctrination. Proud Latina Hispanic like myself. It's just, it's absolutely insane, and I won't stand by idly and let them brainwash and steal our children, future generations of Americans to run this country that are confused and shamed and guilted into trying to say that it's okay to identify as a boy, a girl. You know, one of our kids had a litter box in the hallway at the school because some poor kid, it was identifying as a cat. I mean, that is just, it is sickness. That is child abuse. It's gross. I can't stand it. I don't want, you know, our kids picking up a book and reading about that, how little Jimmy turns into kitty cat. It's nuts. It's nuts. So we got to put a stop to it. They want to destroy us, destroy our country and our kids. And then they're going to have your kids starting to tell on parents, like lock parents up or put them away if they don't, you know, ascribe to all of these things. That's why it's like really imperative that everybody gets out and vote on November 5th so we can put a stop to all this.
Pick up a copy of the book, The Princess and Her Pup. Follow her on X at Kim Guilfoyle and tune into her show, The Kimberly Guilfoyle Show on Rumble. Hey, thanks, my friend. It was great having you back on the show. Please stop by and visit us again. Best of luck with the book. I'm really happy you wrote it. Thank you.
God bless. Thank you, Rich. I really appreciate you.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.